open your Bibles to the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. I'm going to be taking up the Acts in a series on my channel here. As per usual, I'll do each chapter in a relatively brief way, in an expositional way also, to give an overview of each of the chapters. So we'll be going through each of the 28 chapters. Today I'm just going to take it up by way introduction to the Acts of the Apostles. So we'll look at chapter 1 here a little bit and just sort of get a sort of meta-narrative, a bird's-eye view of the whole book. Interesting book. And very relative and practical for us who are believers in this present age in which we find ourselves. So we understand, we see that it's written by Luke, although he's not named, and we pick that up from the connection with the Gospel of Luke. And some have called this the Gospel of Luke Book 2 or Part 2 because he opens it with an introduction and an address to a man named Theophilus, and we see this Theophilus also in the Gospel. So he's addressing this individual and giving him an account of the life of Jesus Christ, what he began both to do and to teach in the Gospel, the third Gospel of the four Gospels. And this is what we have in verse 1 of Acts. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. That's the Gospel. And now in the book of Acts, we get the ministry of the apostles, or some have called the Acts of the Apostles the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because it really gives us a new age, a new dispensation, if you will, a new period in God's counsels and God's dealings, which actually still continues. That is the presence of the Holy Spirit on the earth. And that starts in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. So we could call it the Acts of the Apostles. But indeed, there are two apostles that are very prominent in Acts. That's the Apostle Peter and later the Apostle Paul. Actually, Acts covers a 30-year period. With the ascension of the Lord Jesus that we get here in chapter 1 is AD 30, and it closes in chapter 28 with the close of Paul's public ministry. Well, we should say the public record of it. Of course, we get lots of details in the epistles, but sort of Paul, the end of Paul's public ministry in Acts chapter 28 is around 60 AD, so it covers roughly a 30-year period. Interestingly, there's another 10 years that follows this when the city of Jerusalem will be destroyed. That's not recorded in Acts. It's not really recorded anywhere else in the Bible, but we know it from secular records that in 70 AD, the armies of Rome under General Titus, who would become Caesar eventually, destroyed Jerusalem. And then we have the Jewish people scattered into all the Gentile nations throughout the world, where they continued until just relatively recently in 1948 when they were gathered back into their land. But the point I'm trying to make here is that from 30 AD or AD 30, the ascension of Christ, until the destruction of the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD is 40 years. And this is interesting. We get this period of testing of the Jewish people, because 40, when we go through the scriptures, we see different periods of 40, and these periods of 40 are often have the idea of probation or testing or trial. Even in the life of the Lord Jesus, he was tempted in the wilderness, in the desert places for 40 days and 40 nights, or we see the people of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness where they're under the testings of God and so on. So here we have in the book of Acts, plus 10-year period following, God's grace in presenting Messiah to the nation of Israel. And so it was a test for them whether they would receive him or not receive him. But on the whole, apart from a very small remnant amongst them, they continued to reject him. And then the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. It's amazing God's ways, you know, especially with his people on earth, the people of Israel, and how we see these time periods connected with them, with the church is something different. We don't see really time periods connect with the church. We see the beginning. We see the formation of the church in the day of Pentecost, but that continues on, and I believe will continue, of course, until the rapture. Okay, so we get this 30 years covered, AD 30 to AD 60, closing in Acts chapter 28 with Paul in under house arrest. We may look at that shortly. And as I say, the book can be divided into two parts, two main sections, one covering the ministry of Peter, and the second, the following, covering the ministry of Paul. The ministry of Peter, he had a ministry to the circumcision, that is to the Jewish people, to bring the gospel to the Jewish people. And Paul's special ministry was to the uncircumcision, a ministry to the Gentile nations. And this is the thing with Acts, is that we see this idea of transition. So we have a transition from the ministry of Peter to the ministry of Paul, formerly Saul of Tarsus. And so Peter's ministry covers largely, or is found largely, in chapters 1 to chapter 10, where he, in chapter 10, he preaches the gospel to the household of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman, an Italian. And so this sort of officially brings the Gentiles in. Chapter 9, we see the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, and that's sort of as an indicator of what would come. We see Peter again a few times. We see him in chapter 12. He's arrested, and he's in prison under Herod, Agrippa the First, I believe. And then he escapes out of that. And then we see him again in chapter 15 later at the council of Jerusalem, when the apostles and the other believers were discussing the role of the Gentiles, and not the role of the Gentiles as such, really, but their place in God's economy. You know, did they require circumcision in order to be saved, and so on? And that was a big question. And Paul had a large part in that council. Peter had a part as well as James. But so, really, we see in chapter 11 is really actually the transitional point, where we see Barnabas in Antioch, a Gentile city, with Paul. And then Paul's missionary journey, his first missionary journey, starts in chapter 13. And then Peter fades off the scene. We don't really see him except for that little cameo in Acts 15. It's all the ministry of Paul from chapter 13 onwards. And so in chapter 13, verse 1 to chapter 14, verse 28, we get Paul's first missionary journey. And that's is in the country of, or the area of the world of Asia Minor, with several countries in there, which is today the country of Turkey. And a second missionary journey, chapter 15, verse 36 to chapter 18, verse 22, his second missionary journey was to Europe, to Greece, to the European peoples. And then his third missionary journey, chapter 18, verse 23, to chapter 21, verse 16, was again in Asia Minor. A lot of that missionary journey was taken up in the city of Ephesus. He was there for over 3 years. And then we find when he goes up to Jerusalem following that, he's arrested. So from chapter 21 onwards, we find Paul first in Caesarea and then actually in Rome. And so it's the period covering his arrest. His arrest, and he's in Caesarea for 2 years, and then the trip, chapters 26, I believe, the sea voyage, or actually is it chapter 27, the sea voyage. He ends up in Rome, and there he's under house arrest for 2 years. We believe that Paul was actually released from that house arrest after that period, but it's not really recorded where he went. Many people believe that he went to Spain via Asia Minor and Greece, and then arrested again in Rome, and then martyred sometime after 64 AD, probably around 67 AD. He was martyred under Nero. But, you know, most of all Paul's epistles were written during the period of the Acts. His earlier epistles were written during his journeys, during some of his missionary journeys. The epistle to the Galatians, the epistle to the Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. I guess I mentioned Galatians. The two epistles to Thessalonica, to the 1st and 2nd epistle of Thessalonians, were written during that period of his travels, during his missionary journeys. But then when we see him under house arrest at the end of Acts, that two-year period between 60 AD and 62 AD, he wrote what we call his prison epistles. His prison epistles like Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And then after his release, we believe that he wrote 1 Timothy and Titus during that period. And then his final imprisonment, he wrote his last epistle, the epistle the second epistle to Timothy. 1 Timothy was written during that interim period between his two arrests, along with Titus. But Acts doesn't look at that. Acts just covers the period of those earlier epistles and his prison epistles, the prison epistles of his house arrest, not his final imprisonment. So we see from this, we see that the first half of Acts deals or shows the ministry of Peter, and the second half largely the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And so there we get this idea of transition. We get the idea of in Acts of transition from the Jews to the Gentiles, from the ministry of Simon Peter to the ministry of Paul the Apostle. The transition from the ministry of Jesus, as we see in Luke's first book and Luke, to the ministry of the apostles, which Acts is about. And so it's just a transition. And we get many of the principles of the church revealed to us, not in a doctrinal sense, as we get in Paul's epistles, but in the actual practice. And so it's very helpful for us that way. We get these snapshots of the early church, and we get an impression of as how it was. And although we are not living in the days of the Acts of the Apostles, we don't have the signs and the wonders of the apostles that associated their ministry, but the same Holy Spirit that came down to the earth and filled them is the same Holy Spirit that is with us. And that same ministry, the Great Commission that was committed to them, is still for us, where the church is to be a witness to the whole world. I may say that more about that when we look at chapter 1 in the next video, the continuation of the great commission. In chapter 8, and I would just touch on that in connection with the thought of the continuation of the ministry of the Holy Spirit on the earth, is that Acts seems to end very abruptly. If you look at Acts chapter 28, verse 30 and 31, you see Paul under house arrest, which I've mentioned. He was there 2 years, 60 to 62 AD. But the epistle closes, or not the epistle, but the Acts that Luke records here, closes in verse 31 with Paul preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence and no one forbidding him. Or as the Darby translation has it, with all freedom, unhinderedly. He was unhindered. Even though he was under house arrest, that ministry was not hindered at all. Paul mentions that actually in 2 Timothy, you know, we get this. And this should be an encouragement to us in these days of isolation, in the COVID quarantine and so on, when there's sort of a restriction on a lot of the Christians. That's when these videos are recorded, during this time period of the COVID-19 pandemic. You know, and in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, Paul says, and this is his final imprisonment in Rome under Nero, he says, "For which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains," or to the point of imprisonment. "But the word of God is not chained. The word of God is not imprisoned." So though Paul was restricted, the word of God was not restricted. And so we see here in verse 31, although he was under house arrest, he was not hindered. The word of God cannot be hindered, and that's a word for us. Even though things have been restricted, God's word is not bound, it's not hindered, it's not imprisoned. God's word is going on. So as believers, we need to be patient during this time period of restricted ministry. So another interesting fact is, I don't know if any of you are familiar with F.W. Grant's Numerical Bible. And in that, he breaks the Bible up into Pentateuchs, or actually what he doesn't break it up into Pentateuchs. He says the Bible actually is a series of Pentateuchs, a series of books of five, you know, the first Pentateuch. As the Bible opens, we get Genesis to Deuteronomy. But he also sees there's actually a Pentateuch of the Psalms. There's five books of the Psalms, for example. And in the New Testament, he sees a Pentateuch as well. The first book being the four Gospels, where that would answer to the book of Genesis, you see, where we get the beginnings, that which was in the beginning, it says in the first epistle of John, that which we have heard, seen, and handled, that is the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth, okay, a little different than the beginning we get in John's Gospel, but the four Gospels are the seed book, just like Genesis is, we get the beginnings. Acts answers to the book of Exodus. When the people come out, the people are delivered, we get the beginning of the church and the deliverance of the people from the bondage of the enemy and the church moving forward, you know, in its wilderness journey. And then the epistles of Paul would answer to the book of Leviticus, the third book, where we get the priesthood, the Levites, and all of that, and the arrangements of the assembly. The doctrine of the Church of God is brought out in those epistles. And then the general epistles, you know, of 1 Peter, 2 Peter, Jude, and so on, James, that answers to Numbers, the wilderness books, the wilderness journey that we have recorded in Numbers. And then Revelation sort of answers to the book of Deuteronomy, where the land is in view. You can take that for what it's worth. It sort of spoke to me, it makes sense to me, but you know, it's not written in stone. You know, we have to be careful sometimes with these sort of designations. But clearly, Acts is a transition, and it's something new. It's from the old covenant now to the new, and the Lord Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, and it's the beginning of the church. It's something new in the earth that hadn't existed before, and the gospel of God's grace now going out not just to the Jewish people, but also to the Gentile nations, us, largely speaking. And so it's a wonderful book in that way, a lot of practical lessons and encouragements for us in the day which we live. So I hope the Lord will bless these little studies through the books of Acts and also this brief introduction. May the Lord bless you today. Amen.